We're going to read tonight in the 12th chapter of the book of St. Luke. We're going to start in the 22nd verse. And I just ask that you have your heart open to receive and keep your mind attentive for a space of time and allow God to minister to you. And I'll just say that I'm proud of each and every one of you for how God is moving in your life. I'm proud to see all the great things that's coming, all the things that's growing in your life. I'm so proud. My heart is soaring inside. You know, when you preach, you never preach a point that you're satisfied with where you are. You're always preaching to continue and to keep going, but I just want to take a moment to say I'm proud of you, that I love you, and just keep going. Hang in there. Don't give up on God. He'll be there. He'll be your friend. He'll be there closer than a brother. And in the tough times, when nobody else is, he'll be that voice that'll speak to you. Hallelujah. And it says in the 22nd verse, and he said unto the disciples, he being Jesus, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. In other words, don't give any regard for having so much concern about seeking for the things that you would consume. Don't spend so much time in your life, in the world, seeking for all the things that would fill you. Because I know that it's important to eat. I know it's important to fill these bodies. Trust me, I love eating. I love to eat. I love the art of the hunt. I love driving around saying, where are we going to go this time? You got all kinds of choices. You can pick anywhere you want to go. We even have so much that we have the ability to have preference. But when it becomes so important to us that it supersedes our desire for God, we need to begin to realize that something needs to change. We need to evaluate inside of our hearts and say, Lord, what am I doing that is making this desire override another? What is it that I'm doing, God, that my desire for the world is greater than my desire for you? When I take no regard for what I put on my body, I'm not going out and spending too much for what I wear. I'm not going out and seeking all the time for the things that's what's current and trendy. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for the things that would impress somebody. I'm not looking for the very things out in life that's going to please man. Come on. I'm not giving regard to that which I search for in the world that's going to appeal to you. But that which I seek for in God will draw you instead of me trying to appeal to you by putting on a worldly garment. God saved me by me casting off the old person that I was. So any time that I go and try to put on the things that I was delivered from, I should know as a pretty good indicator that that's going down the wrong road. I know what God has done. I know what he's performed. And if I try to act in that manner, try to do the same things I used to, go seek out in the world for the things I used to do and try to pull people in that same manner to have a friend, I'll never keep that friend. They go away. They only last for a little while. But when I begin to seek God in a greater way, when I put him first above my worldly desires and put him above everything else in this world, then people begin to see a difference in me. They begin to see something in me that they know that my heart isn't out in this world. They know that it's not out searching for things that I can't afford. And let me tell you, the more that you seek God, the more that you build up in your life in him, the more that people will begin to know simply because you won't have the desire for it. Because I'm here to tell you, a lot of times we look for power in our life. We want to be empowered. We want to have the ability to be confident. We want to stand in the present day to know that we can handle life on our own. We want to be able to be tough. We want to be brave. We want to be courageous in the time that we're living in. We want people to know that I'm there for you. We want to be able to stand with something that we can link up to one another and be friends in this life. But let me tell you, when we adorn ourselves in worldly garments and we desire after this world, we're never going to be able to satisfy one another in that way. We're never going to be able to feed each other on something that's going to be able to keep us throughout all of time. Why is that? Because those things are temporary. Those things only last for a little while. And it's important for us to realize that the longer that we put in those things outside of church, the longer that we put in the things that are outside of the Word of God, we will come short. It's only short term. You'll be up for a little while, and then eventually we fall back down because that which we were putting in will only last. Then we'll move on to something else, and then we'll be bold for a little while again. And that which we were putting in will only last for a little while. But that which you put in the Word of God inside of your life, as Christ is eternal in your life, that will always last you so long as you live on this earth. And tonight I rejoice in that. Tonight I know that I'm able to stand by what I put in of the Word of God. I know that there's times that I need to be tough and be courageous, but the only way I'm able to stand is by and through the Word of God that lives inside of me. So if I'm not having a desire to want to put in more of this in my life, I'm not going to be bold. I'm going to be weak. I'm not going to be able to stand. I'm not going to be able to be a life source to somebody, a lifeguard, to be able to look out for them. I don't want to entertain you. I want to help you. I want to be of help to you. I want to reach out and let you know that God is there for you. And the only way we do that is when we put off our desires for the world. Put off that part of us that wants all those things out there. Because trust me, we may not want the same things, but the one thing we all do share is a desire for the world. Amen. You can amen with me or not, but I know that it's true. And what I want to bring out even further is that the life is more than meat. And the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? In which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye the thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The raiment in that characteristic does not have anywhere that he puts up food, doesn't store, but yet is always knowing in the mind of that bird that he's going to find what he needs. And to me, when I put that in comparison, it should be to my faith. In my life, it should be to my faith. When I consider everything around me tonight, it should be to the building up of my life. It should be to the building up of your life. To consider that even though the raven doesn't have anything to guarantee life upon, that if we base things on what we possess, and we cannot have guarantees for everything that we're going to go through, but we can be faithful to the one that will make the way for us. Amen. We can be faithful to the one that can make the way for us. I cannot tell you enough how many times, time and time again, that God has made a way for me. And each and every step that I've took and each and every trial that he's brought me through, it doesn't tear me down, but it reminds me of who he is. And it reminds me that each and every time I go through another one, that I don't need to regard the storehouse that I build up, that I don't need to regard what I have in my closet. But if I just regard the one who is my provider, then I'll be able to make it through the trial. I can't get this in your spirit. You've got to receive this for yourself tonight. If you begin to realize that he is the storehouse and not what you can make on a paycheck, if you've not realized things are shutting down each and every day and you might feel like that you have security, but there is no security out in this world. So if you put your eggs in a basket on what you can seek out there, it will fail you. But if you trust God and hang on to his promise,
promise. You will make it through the trials of life. Somebody help me tonight. Somebody know about going through a rough one and making it through to the end. Somebody know about not having a storehouse and God making a way for you. I need somebody to be a witness. I'm not the only one that God has blessed in abundance. I'm not the only one that God has ever healed. He has a storehouse of healing. He has a storehouse of peace. Oh, devil, get behind us tonight. He has a storehouse beyond all measure. And if we have the faith to be able to go about life, we can soar. Oh, on the wings of eagles, we'll be able to wait upon the Lord and trust Him. And more than that, we'll be able to give no regard for how important that we feel that life is. We'll be able to listen more to what God would want us to do. I could be so much further than where I am if I only truly listen to the voice of God. Every time that God ever tries to do a great work in my life, there is one thing that's always a present in front of me. You can count on it. It'll be a temptation unto you. It'll be a hindrance unto you. But no doubt you are going to be tested for what God has laid out before you. And no doubt it's going to be a decision that you're going to have to make in your own life. And no doubt that if you've went through it time and time again, then it's obviously a test that you've not conquered. And God wants you to be able to make it through it. And God has tried and tried and tried to speak into your life something to bring you through. And I don't know how many times that He tried to set me free from drugs, but only until I got a hold of it and put it into my heart and applied it and made it come alive in my heart. Did it ever make a difference? I could preach to you all night, but until you put it into your heart and believe it for yourself, it'll never come alive. I can't preach it loud. I couldn't run it fast enough for it to come alive in your heart. You've got to believe it in faith. You've got to trust the God that you serve. You've got to rise up and believe. You've got to be bold in the God that you're serving. Am I alone tonight in this? God is there for you each and every time that you call. He's open and ready to hear when you praise Him. He's there and ready to hear when you call out. Oh, He's there as a present authority when you take authority over the hand of the enemy. And yet we feel like that we have no power. Feel like that we have no authority. Feel like that we just have to lay around sick, lay around depressed, lay around just feeling like that there is no solution. Well, I'm here tonight to shake it up a little bit and to remind you that you do not have to live that way. You do not have to settle for second best. You do not have to live in suffering. You do not have to take depression and say it's mine. You can come, and as it says, as you read on, to cast your cares, oh, to lay it down before God, and He will be there to move for your every need. When's the last time that we really cast off everything and had a moment? I'm about to close, and I'm going to challenge you. When's the last time that we gave no regard for man or for our raiment or for how we styled our hair or for what we brought in with us when we came to church? Come on now, somebody. When's the last time that we gave no regard for the form and fashion and traditions and doctrines and was able just to come into soul agreement in one single prayer? I tell you, it's hard when we give so much regard for so many things. God made it simple for us. If He said just to come and cast it before Him, that's all that we have to do. If we come with all these other things, it's hard because we're carrying more weights than God had ever intended for us to live by, to live with, or to carry. You know what God wants us to carry? Love. Love. He wants us to live with love. And as you abide in love, the fruits thereof that you bear are joy, peace, long-suffering. Hallelujah.
Long-suffering doesn't have the ability to produce complaint. Love does not have the ability to lose compassion. The love of God will look beyond every fault and will give no regard, give no judgment, won't look upon anybody for what they've done, but will look at them and see the need in their life. I love each and every one of you. And this is as honest as I can be. My heart is troubled. I feel like, as honest as I can say this, that we give too much regard for this world. And it's weighing us down from being able to be as spiritual as God wants us to be. To be able to be the mouthpiece that God wants us to be. To be able to be obedient like God wants us to be. We take more importance to what we head out there and do. I've got to get people to practice, Jared. I've got a schedule to maintain. I've got a job to take care of. I've got my mind already filled up with what's going down in the morning. I don't have time to hear the word of God right now. My mind's already somewhere else. I can't hear what you're saying. I'm already in a different place. But God wants you to lay those things down so you can have a moment in time where you enter into the rest of God, where you lay down your burdens. Do I have to crawl tonight to get you to hear what I'm saying so you're able to lay down the weights that would easily beset you? God has set aside a time so you're able to hear what He says into your life. The Holy Ghost is ready to bring you into a time of rest if you would be willing to heed into what He would say. I'm telling you, all you got to do is lay down your desires for this world. Lay down your heartbreak. Lay down your feelings. Oh, hallelujah. That's the toughest one to let go of. I've been hurt, Jared. I've been troubled, Jared. I've been sad, Jared. Oh, lay it down tonight, church. Lay it down tonight, church. Leave it before the feet of God. Lay it down tonight. There is nothing worth your salvation and the joy that lies therein. Oh, I'm ill in body. There is nothing worth receiving the healing of the Most High God. Lay it down before the throne room of glory. Come boldly before God and trust Him. I can't help but feel the power of God. I feel He's tugging right now. Lord, help me. Lord, help me right now. I'm not giving up. You can leave if you wish, but for those that God's tugging right now, He's got you. You're just going to have to hang on as He's pulling you in. I feel like somebody's hearing this tonight. You see, as the Holy Ghost begins to deal with your life, there's going to be things that He shows you that you cannot have a desire for anymore. There'll be things that you cannot do anymore. And as God begins to show you, you may not see it in the Bible, but you'll hear it in your heart, and you've got to lay it down in your life. And as God shows you, you will be blessed for it. Don't count it as a loss, but count it as a gain for how far that God will take you. Hallelujah. 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 I need somebody to pray with me right now. Hallelujah. I feel it pressing against it. Don't fight this tonight. Just receive it. It's not me that's bringing it. Hallelujah. There's going to be some things that's going to come to try to, oh, to shake up your walk with God. And though you might be provoked to wrath, God wants to bring you in a state of peace and wants to remind you to forgive even a 70 times 7. Oh, even to lay it down and to give no regard, oh, for this world or how they would hurt you or how they would try to bring you down. Oh, you may see bills that may overwhelm you, but you pray over them and not give glory to the debt, but give glory to the storehouse. Oh, I feel that tonight. Give glory to the storehouse and praise Him for what's to come. When you read about the seven churches in Revelation, the one thing that is present and evident of all about that is that there was not one church that did it right. And we can come in here and pretend like that we do everything right and there is nothing that we do wrong in the sight of God. But there is one part in the Word of God that stands out to me and brings me down every time that says, that which is done in darkness shall be brought to light. That which is done in darkness shall be brought to light. And we can go around in hiding and act like that we're fine. But God will reveal everything that we do. If you're hurt, and God will bring a time to where you can be ministered to and helped, there will not be a time where you can say that I was forsaken, for there was a promise. There was a promise that He would never leave you or forsake you. So do not say that God was not there for you when you were hurt, because there will be a time when the light will come into your life. That's not always just to provoke people to think that if I do bad things that God is going to find me out. That's also to say that if I'm in a broken place, that God will bring the light to rescue you, that to bring you out, to lift you up, to pick you up, to heal your home. Lord, help me to find the verse that I'm looking for. But rather you seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. I might not see it right now, Junior. I might not know the kingdom and what it is to know it in the fullness doors. But that does not mean that I cannot inherit in my heart the power that was endued from on high. That selfsame word that said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That word of God that lives inside of us, oh, is always there, oh, to make manifest as it lives inside of us. Oh, there's no way that we could run, no way that we could hide. Oh, when we're set free, it's made manifest and alive. Hallelujah. I rejoice to know that I am free. I rejoice to know that I am delivered. How do you know that you're saved? That was your cue. Do you know that you're saved? Can you rejoice tonight to know that your salvation means something? I hope it does. Because it's the only thing that you have that's going to remind you of the storehouse. I love songs. And I hope that you're noticing a difference, because we've made a commitment to make one. But songs are not going to remind you in a bad time about your storehouse, about where your help comes from, who your present help is in a time of trouble. It's when you get in a good place that you're supposed to sing. Come on, church. It's when we get in a good place, we're supposed to rejoice. And when we're in a place where we're not able to rejoice, that, and I stress this, that is a time when we reach out to those around us. It's not a time to draw back. A common misconception is that if I'm in trouble, I'm not supposed to get in the way with my issues. And I'll just stay over here hidden. But you can hide all you want to from the church, but God still knows your troubles. And I rejoice in that. Because there's been some times, and I know you know what I'm talking about, that I would have given anything if anybody would have came to me that night. But I learned a lesson. That you don't put your trust in people. People don't hold the storehouse. People aren't going to help you at midnight. They're in bed. And you call them, they're more than likely going to be like, what do you want? You realize what time it is? A lot of the moves of God that you always saw, it's close to the midnight hour or at daybreak at the most inconvenient time. And as you continue to read, even in that section, it says, be aware, for you know not when the Son of Man would come. Beware in your church. Beware for the presence of God. Think about it. Beware for when God would begin to speak to you, for you know not when the time is going to come that you need Him. For you don't know the time that you're going to need Him to rescue you. For you don't know the time that you're going to need to be warned or changed or moved or rolled over or lifted up or picked up or pushed out. But we've got to be aware. We've got to heed to that. But the only way we begin is when we give no regard to this stuff. There's just so much of it out there. It's hard to stay away. I mean, cell phones are so amazing that you could get caught up in a cell phone and immediately forget about the presence of God. You hand somebody a phone that has a touch screen and they've never fooled with one before. Immediate captivation. The effect of technology. It's the same way that people are tempted in the drugs. You give somebody a feeling that they've never felt before within their body, they're hooked. It doesn't take more than one time. Immediate captivation. And that's a battle that you have to work with to try to get them off of that. People are searching. They're looking. They're trying to find something to appeal to the emptiness in their life. In other words, they're lost. Not lost in a way that would make me feel like that I have the right to condemn, but lost in the way that they just need direction to a source that will provide so much more than this world can do. I say tonight that we remember who our storehouse is. And I say that we learn to give less regard for this world. And you can't do it manually. You can't do it on your own. You can't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to give less regard for what I wear. Because when you get in the mirror, you're going to say, ooh, I just bought that shirt last week. I'm going to wear that. Come on. Get real with me tonight. Ooh, I just bought that. I want to wear that one. But as you get in the presence of God, God will show you what you can afford. He'll show you what to do with the money that He's anointed you to have, and you'll be a good steward over what God blesses you with, and you'll feel like that you have so much more because you manage what you've been given. My car's broke down all the time, Jared. Well, where are you going? Are you running around the world trying to find something to enjoy life with? If you got down and prayed and sought God, you wouldn't have to travel 250 miles to have a good time. You can throw a rock if you want to. I know that's hard to hear, but it's true. I know we prayed tonight, but I want us to, I'm going to challenge you. I didn't forget. We need to have a prayer in our life to where we're acknowledging to God. We have to acknowledge this. If you do not acknowledge this, then you are not man enough and woman enough to say that you're an adult. We have to acknowledge that we give more regard to this world sometimes. You can call this hard preaching if you want, and if so, then I'm proud of it. We have to acknowledge that we give more regard to the world sometimes, or otherwise we'd feel more of God. We'd come in here and have the best services. We'd have the reputation of the town being the most popular 99th church of Campbell County. And the solution is not blaming everybody for why it goes wrong. It's looking within our heart and saying, why have I given more regard to all these things but you, God? What is it in my life that needs to begin to change? Show me, God. I hear that. I hear that. I hear God speaking that. Show me, Lord, what I need to do. Help me, God, to know. Lord, I just don't know. I've never understood. And I know that sometimes we see people and we'll feel like, oh, they'll never get it. But if you pray, God will show them. God will give them the understanding. They'll be able to understand, and you won't have to feel like that you got to lecture them all the time. You would be able to give them godly wisdom. If you do things in love and operate and let the fruits of the Spirit minister, you don't have to argue with nobody. I don't have to tell Derek, you're spending too much money on this. You need to balance your budget better. Doesn't do any good. But if I sincerely just tell Derek I love him, and I'm praying for him, we get down and pray, and he gets closer to God, and that's my duty towards him in love, God will begin to show him, because that's what's in God's word. It cannot help but happen in his life. And if he chooses to heed to it, that's when it becomes working out his salvation. It's not at that point my choice to make on his behalf. It's his choice to make. We want to blame preachers sometimes for how close we are or are not to God. But it is your choice to go out there and make your choices. It is your decision to go out and make the bad choices. Come on now. I know this is hard to hear. But I went through some hard roads to learn these lessons. I had to learn these the hard way. And there were some times I got so in my own self, got so, I don't know how to say it, confused with God and be like, Lord, am I ever going to feel like that I'm worthy? I always feel like that there's something else that I've got to do, something else to lay down, something else to change, something else to move out of the way. Lord, what is there in life left to live? And as I prayed, I realized that there's nothing in life to live. There's nothing in life to live that will satisfy you. The only thing, Derek, that I found, and you'll have to forgive me for not realizing this a long time ago, the only thing that's worth in life is the people around you. And I feel like there's so many times, and this is an example, that I could have called Derek and just told him I loved him more. And I'll just tell him I'm sorry for not doing that more. But I've realized that there's no amount of money that you can have that'll make you happy. But it's the people around you that matter. When Jesus walked, he walked amongst the people. He cared for the people and didn't give regard to the Pharisees and the long garments that they adorned themselves with. Didn't give regard to that. He didn't give regard to the religion. I give regard to you, church. I care for the people. We got to care for one another and love each other and realize the worth that we have. And when you realize that, you'll know of what you need to do. Your obedience is not that you can attain popularity or attain wealth as you build up in God, but that you add souls into the kingdom, and that you build up lives to see them be fulfilled, and that their children and their children's children grow up to be full of life and joy. You tell me that if we didn't begin to lay off this world and get serious about God, that we wouldn't see differences made in people's lives. I'm bold enough to say that I could guarantee we'd see it happen, because it's in his word. It's a promise. You don't have to say that in faith. You can guarantee on that one, Jamie. Let's begin to consider one another greater. And as Jesus said, to love your neighbor as yourself. To not give regard for this world, but to love each other.